Pete from Palm Springs.
Hey, semi-alcoholic. I need a better clap. More than that, come on. There you go. I came all the way from Palm Springs. I lost my voice at Coachella Fest, and all I get is. It's raining like crazy. I got my nails done. I got my hair done, and all I get is. Really? Come on. Okay. All the way from Palm Springs. So before I talk about myself, I want to ask, where's Tim? Tim, if you guys don't like my talk, complain to Tim because he gave my number to Christy. Where's Christy? Thank you for calling me to speak. My sponsor, Jeannie, is right here in front row. Thank you. And I do have a sobriety date, March 27, 1999. Yeah. And I got sober when I wasn't even 21, but I had a fake ID, and I'll go there when I get there, okay? I also have a home group, which is the Friday Night Sobriety Camp for the World Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we meet there on Friday night at 8 p.m. Topher, where's Topher? He was there. Tim was there. And Luis is going to be there pretty soon. So you're all welcome to go to my home group. And I do have a sponsor, like I said, Jeannie T. And she wants me to tell you that she was a Playboy bunny back in the 60s. Yeah, right there. Okay, so do we have any FBI undercover in the meetings? Okay, anybody from the DEA? No. Anybody from the DA? No, because I don't like you guys, okay? Any nuns, because I don't like the nuns either. Okay, any brothers, you were a nun? Oh my God, they punished me a lot because I went to Catholic school. Okay, so I don't like the nuns either. Okay. Okay, so we're good to go now. So I'm from Chicago and oh, right here from Chicago. Welcome. I saw you at another meeting. Tuesday night, Monks and Drunks. You don't get enough of me? Oh my God. I want to thank Rachel for opening the show for Lady Gaga. I met Rachel through Tim. I went to speak at his meeting. Remember, Tim, like back in November, December? So you're going to be my 10-minute speaker from now on, okay? So anyway, I'm from Chicago. I was a high-class gangster, so I move my hands a lot, okay? And my family are from Sicily, Palermo. Anybody from Palermo here? Yeah, okay. So I move my hands a lot, okay? And my father, I was born in a family where, have you heard about La Cosa Nostra? That's my family on my mother's side. And then my father is from a different cartel. So I was born in a family where import and export business has been there forever. So I started drinking when I was 10 years old. And that happened because I grew up with my grandma and she passed away when I was 10. And that was my first resentment. I was going to Catholic school, and I don't like the nuns. I hate this ugly uniform. I used to cut it and make it like my dress right now, like real short. I got so traumatized, I have to wear like short dresses now. Oh my God. So I don't like the nuns because they would punish me because I wear lipstick. They punished me because I cut my uniform, and I got kicked out from from Catholic school, and which I was happy that I got kicked out. So I'm 10 years old, my grandma passed away, and my father had this beautiful bar in the living room, and I would go and pick a bottle and drink straight from the bottle. I don't even know what it was. And then I would put water, and then I would mix it up and put it back in his bar. The next day, I'll make sure I get a different bottle, which was 100% alcohol. And then my sister had this hairspray called Aquanet. I used to spray it on my hair like the next morning to go to school. And the nuns they couldn't tell if it was my breath or was the Aquanet on my hair, you know? It was, so then I got involved in the gangs when I was about 10 years old with the Latin Kings from Chicago. My brother, he was older than me. He provided other stuff other than alcohol. I'm only 4'11". I'm almost like 5'2". But I remember getting drunk and feeling like 5'7", like right now. But in reality, I'm not 5'7". I'm only like 4'11". So I remember drinking every single day because my grandma passed away. So now I have to go home, live with my mom, my sisters, and my father that I never got along with. And I never got along with my sisters, never got along with my sisters because they behave so well. Every little thing I do, they make me look really bad because they behave so well and I didn't behave. So I'm involved with the gangs, I'm getting into fights, I'm going to private school, I'm a cheerleader, and I'm drinking a lot and I'm doing other stuff. And then guess what happened? I got kidnapped. I got shot before I got kidnapped. I got shot on my neck right here. So ladies, I'm not flirting with your man. I'm not throwing them a kiss. I was paralyzed on my right-hand side. So my lips kind of twist a little bit to the right. I'm not throwing your man a kiss. That's just how my lips move. Because I was shot and paralyzed. Have to get that out of the way. So when I got shot, I was in the hospital. I got out of the hospital on a wheelchair wearing my high heels. Because don't you know, I still have to look good. Yeah. I was drinking and taking other stuff for the pain that I was going through. So I'm walking. I wasn't supposed to walk. I was paralyzed. And I'm still here talking to you ladies and men. So what happened after that? I got kidnapped by this man, and I call him the jerk. My sponsor is right here. What my first sponsor told me that it's okay. I can still call him by the jerk. I refuse to call that man by his first name. Why? Because I'm only like 15 years old. And he took me to Iraq for 4 months. I'm a minor. So I call my father. I told my father that I had been kidnapped and raped by the jerk. And you know what he said? That it was my fault because of my body, because of the way I talk, because of the way I move, because of the way I walk. And you know what? At that moment, I don't use profanity, okay? But I do spell it out. At that moment, I said, F-U-C-K, life. I didn't care about my life anymore because my own father is telling me that it's my fault. So what happened? The jerk is providing me with alcohol and more alcohol. I'm in a different country. I lost myself completely. Somehow my family from Palermo went and got me back to America. And you know what my father did? He got the jerk back to America, took me to City Hall at 15 years old and married me to the jerk. So you don't think I'm gonna drink over that? Yes, I'm gonna drink over that. And yes, I'm gonna become an alcoholic after that because I didn't care anything about my life or anybody else. I became a sour, cold person. So then I'm pregnant from the jerk. I had a boyfriend from my Latin Kings in Chicago. In my mind, I'm gonna marry that guy. We're gonna have these little kids and whatnot. I wanted closure. I wanted to tell him what had happened to me. And you could see my tummy. I was like maybe 2 months pregnant. I went and I wanted to talk to him. And you know what he said? I don't want to hear you, Zenny. You pay me. At that moment, I said, F-U-C-K, love. I felt like I'm never going to judge anybody. I try not to judge people because he judged me. I turned around. I walked away. I had a miscarriage. And I thank God for having a miscarriage because I don't know what would I have done with that kid from the guy who raped me. So I promise I'm going to get sober, Christy, okay? So what happened after that? I never feel like the victim, but I started drinking a lot more. I couldn't live with the feeling of living with this man who raped me and now he's my husband. And I'm only 15 years old. Of course I had to drink. And I hated the world in general. I hated everybody. So drinking became my solution to numb my feelings, my thoughts, because I can go, oh my God, I can go postal without working at the post office. mentally, right? So what happened, I got so angry, you know, towards my life and everything else. And what happened after that, before I came to California, my father, at 49 years old, died of a heart attack. He and the jerk were on my list to do you know what. I'm a crazy person. When I drink, oh my God, I'm real crazy. Thank God I don't drink anymore. He died at 49 years old. As soon as he died, do we have any judges in the room? No? Okay, good. I lied to the judge. I filed for divorce on my own when the jerk used to call me stupid, Miss Piggy, and da 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 da. I'm like, I want to show you how stupid I am. You know? I went to court, lied to the judge. I told him that he had abandoned me, whatnot, whatever, right? So anyway, I got rid of the jerk, and I cannot tell you how I did it, but if you want to know how, after the meeting, come to me, and I'll give you the full details, how to get rid of a jerk. So I got rid of the jerk, but because of that, I have to go to California, because his family, even now, they're looking for me. Even now, 25 years after, they're looking for me. So my family said, you know what, you have to go to California. So I moved to, it's like Palm Desert, close to Palm Springs. And oh my God, my drinking career began in Palm Springs. I was drinking a lot. And then my next thing became Merryman. I don't do that anymore, ladies, okay? Merryman were my addiction, you can say. I didn't care about destroying a happy marriage. That's exactly what I wanted to do. I was so sour. I was so unhappy. And so I'm like, okay, if I see this happy couple, I'm going to flirt with a man. And once he files for divorce, boom, I'll leave him. And I did that a lot. And that's part of my story. What happened? I didn't care about anybody else. I was just breaking up marriages, drinking a lot more, and then working for my family. At this time, I'm not even 18 years old. I'm making my own fake passport, my own fake ID. I have the good quality paper. I mean, I was doing everything illegal, and I never got caught. That's why I'm not, do we have anybody from the DEA? Because I never got caught, and I'm not going to get caught talking to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, it's not going to happen. So then what happened? I met him and he wasn't married. Boring, you know? So I love Mexican bread. And the jerk used to tell me, don't eat Mexican bread because you're going to get fat. So I met this guy. I got this job because my mom told me, you know what, mija, you have to get a job, work your social security and whatnot. So I got this real job. And this guy showed up. He used to work there. He's like, Cindy, do you want some donuts? I'm like, no, give me some Mexican bread. And the next day he showed up with a box of Mexican bread. It was like a dozen. And I ate the whole thing. And then he comes back later. He's like, Cindy, where's the bread? I'm like, huh, why? He says, we're going to share with, you know, with the office. So I'm like, oh, I ate it all. But I fell in love with the guy. And he became my boyfriend like for 3 years. Poor guy. Did not drink. Nothing. I got him involved working for my family. And then we started working in a lot of illegal stuff. Human trafficking, that was nothing. I used to drive crazy drunk to TJ, going to the clubs to LA, Mexicali, I mean, everywhere. And I never had a DUI. So that's why, to me, alcoholic was like a homeless person. So that wasn't my case. So my boyfriend said, you know what? You're really smart. Go to college. I'm like, okay. So I started going to college. I met my friends. I'm the leader. I'm the one with the money. I'm the one with the credit cards. We would take off Friday nights to Las Vegas, blackouts, came back, go to school the next day. Fast forward, I got a job at the courthouse in Indio, working for my family in the import-export business. And I got a job with a fake ID with the sheriff's departments downstairs in the basement. I was their receptionist. And one day in the morning, I was sitting, when you go through the metal detectors, and I see this man coming in, like, oh, gee. I'm like, ooh, I like that man. And my deputy friend said, Sandy, he's married. I'm like, I don't care. I don't want his wife. I want him. Poor man. He comes in. I asked him for his business card because I have a criminal case. Nothing was true. I told him it was my birthday the next day. He showed up when I told him I was going to be celebrating my birthday. He showed up with a cake. Nobody else was there but me and him and a cake. And it wasn't even my birthday. We started having an affair that lasted 5 years. And I'm underage. And he never found out until when I got sober. So we're having an affair. And then I got fired from the courthouse. Because on Monday, I go to work late with a hangover. On Tuesday, I have an attitude. Don't talk to me because it's only Tuesday. On Wednesday, I go home early because I want to drink because I'm going out Wednesday night. So I got fired from the courthouse. And I told people that I quit. So I'm working for my family. I decided to go see my doctor. And this is where AA comes to my life. I went and saw my doctor, and he says, Zenny, I can feel a lump in your neck. He said, it's a possibility that's cancer. Crazy alcoholic. I'm already on stage 4. Oh my God, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die soon. And that boyfriend that I had before my sugar daddy was still there. He was the only guy that I can trust with my stuff. I'm like, JT, I'm dying. I'm like on stage 4 cancer. He says, no, you're not. You're not even 18 years old. I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. So my doctor said, go to Loma Linda, follow up. I showed up drunk and I talked to this doctor. He says, Zenny, you do have a tumor. It's a possibility. You have to come back in 2 weeks, sober. This is like March 16. So I'm like, it's okay. I can go home. I can go home. I can stay sober. I wasn't able to stay sober. I wasn't able to stay sober, and he freaked me out. I go back. I saw my doctor, and he says, Zenny, we are going to remove that tumor on June 18, 1999, and I need to stay sober at least a month or two before we do that procedure. I'm like, doctor, I tried, and I cannot get sober. And he says, go to AA. I travel a lot with American Airlines. Oh. And my luggage claim ticket says AA. So I'm thinking to myself, American Airlines have a meeting where I'm going to stay sober? Wow. But my ego is so big, I don't want to ask my doctor, like, what do you mean? So I call my sugar daddy. I'm like, hey, doctor said I need to go to AA? What is that? He says, babe, I'm going to give you a big book. And he gave me a red Camaro convertible. I'm like, is it going to fit in my Camaro? He says, yeah. So how big is it? He told me it's a big book, right? So I'm like, how big is it? He says, it's a big book. I'm like, is it going to fit in my car? He says, yeah, it's going to fit in your car. Okay, well, give me an idea. He says, don't worry. I'll come to the office and I'll give you a big book. I showed up at his office. Oh my God. He gave me this blue book. And then I opened the book and there's no shoes, no makeup, no design, nothing. It's like tiny little letters. And I'm just getting dizzy by looking at that book. And I'm like, and you want me to stay sober by reading this book? I don't think so. I took it with me. I took it to my house. somewhere under my bed. So I went back. I saw my doctor. I told my doctor, I'm going to go to meetings. Sugar daddy took me to a meeting. You old timers, I was only 18 years old, and you were not a vision for me. You old timers stay in a meeting so quiet for an hour. So sour looking, like you're not a vision for me. I'm only 18 years old, and you want me to stay sober by looking at you? It ain't gonna happen. No. I keep looking at the old timers, and they were like so unhappy, just so unhappy to be there. I'm like, I don't wanna be like them. If I'm gonna get sober, I wanna be happy. I don't wanna be like these people that go to the meeting, they look so sour. And my sugar daddy said, I'm gonna take you to another meeting. He took me to another meeting, same thing. He left me there. And then this man with an oxygen tank asked me out for pie and coffee after the meeting. I was freaking out. I'm like, what? I'm not used to that. I used to go to the clubs and have the man ask me, hey girl, give me your number, you know, but a man like an 80-year-old man with an oxygen tank wants to take me for coffee and pie? No way. Mm-mm. I left. My man said, I want to take you to another meeting, ABC Club in Indio. Okay. I get there. Friday night, we're loud. People with different nationalities. I'm like, I fit in. This is where I belong. People were loud. And I mean, I just love that. But then I don't believe in God because the nuns created this nun that it was a punishing God. God took my grandma. I got raped. I got kidnapped. I got shot. Where's that God? So I go to these meetings, and then you guys, the big book says, God, God, God. Everywhere you read, there's God. And then you have the third step prayer, God. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't like this. I don't like this. So you guys get in a circle after the meeting, and then you do a prayer, like the closing prayer. Oh my God. Holding people's hands all sticky, like, ugh. Grosses me out. So what I did, I was leaving earlier, because I don't want to get in a circle with you guys. And then you ask people to leave the meeting, read this and read that. I'm like, I'm not an alcoholic. So I'm going to go to the meetings, but I'm not going to get a sponsor. Not until I see Lady Gaga coming in or Al Capone or John Gotti, then maybe they're going to be my sponsor. But all these crazy people, I don't think so. So what I did, I went to meetings and I went to see my doctor sober. I told him, doctor, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not drinking. I'm not happy. So I had the surgery done and I lost my voice. And a lot of people were happy that I lost my voice. I lost my voice as soon as I had surgery because they took out my thyroid glands. They cut around my vocal cords. And that's why, like, right now it's like, because I went to Coachella Fest and I was singing a lot. So anyway, I wasn't supposed to get my voice back. And I got it back, like, in October 1999. And when I got it back, I was like, wow, there is somebody out there. It's not God, but there's somebody out there taking care of me because I got my voice back. So I got my voice back. In September, I went to see my doctor. And I asked, doctor, can I drink? He says, Sandy, let me tell you what's going to happen. Because you don't have your thyroid glands, you're going to be taking Lovoxil. I need you to stay sober and clean from nothing in your system. Because you're going to take this medication every morning. And if you take any other thing else, that pill's not going to work. I'm like, man. He says, your skin is going to get dry. Your nails are going to get all dry. And I'm like, no. But when he said you cannot drink forever, and I'm like, no, you don't get it, doctor. I'm not an alcoholic. He says, Sandy, just keep going to those meetings. I was so angry at my doctor. I was going to those meetings, but I wasn't able to relate. But I was not drinking. It took me 18 months. That's why when you newcomers get up here and you got your 90-day, 20-day newcomership, man, I wish I would have done that. But my ego, I was in denial. I'd never gotten out of those chips. For 18 months, I went to meetings, still having an affair with that married man, not knowing if I was really an alcoholic, but I was going to those meetings. 18 years, after 18 months, Keith Carpenter, Clancy used to sponsor him. He got a speaker, her name is Victoria. And oh my God, I was able to relate to the lady in so many different ways. After her talk, Benny Leahy was the CEO for the ABC Club. I'm like, Benny, I'm an alcoholic. Oh my God, I'm an alcoholic. Danny, you don't get it. I'm an alcoholic. He said, it's okay, Cindy. I'm like, no, it's not okay. You don't get it. I don't want to be an alcoholic. Oh my God, I'm an alcoholic. What am I going to do? He said, Maggie? He called this lady, look like a nun. Come on, Maggie. You have a new sponsee. I'm like, oh my God, not the lady. It wasn't Jeannie. So here comes this lady, look like a nun. Hey, sweetie, here's my number. Call me tomorrow. I don't think so. What am I going to tell this lady? I don't even know her. I never called the lady. She called me back like a week after. Hi, sweetie. It's me, Maggie. When can we meet to do your step one? I'm like, ugh. So we met. She got me through step one of Alcoholics Anonymous, step two, and step three. When it came to step three, she said, you know what, Cindy? You're full of SHIT. You do not believe in God. I'm like, you got that right, lady. I said, I do not believe in God. And she said, well, you're going back to step one and step two. I'm like, but why? She said, because you have to be honest. And I'm like, well, I don't believe in God. I don't want to God. I mean, like, I just don't believe in God. And she said, do you believe in somebody else higher than yourself? I'm like, I do. But what does it have to be? A man, you know? She says, okay, go back to step one and step two. So I went back to step one and step two. And this time, I surrender. On my step three, I was crying a lot. I was crying a lot. And that lady, I had questions. I had questions for everything. Like, why do I have to check in with you every day? Like, why do I have to talk to you? Like, why? So according to my family, that's like snitching, because we in my family, we do not talk about our stuff. We keep everything in the house. So now I have a sponsor. Now I have a therapist. Oh my God, it was crazy, because I took, before I got sober, I went in the hospital for about 3 days for alcohol poisoning. And I guess I told the paramedics that I wanted to kill myself. And because of that, I had to see a therapist. So now I have a therapist. Now I have a sponsor. Now I'm working the steps, and now I'm not happy. I saw my doctor. I'm like, doctor, am I done with AA? He says, no, you're not done. Keep going, keep going, keep going. So here I am. That lady took me through my steps to Alcoholics Anonymous, NA, CODA, and Gamblers. I'm like, and then she's like, what about Al-Anon? I'm like, no, enough. I already did NA, AA, CODA, and Gamblers. I'm like, I'm not no Al-Anon. I'm like, I'm good with that. Whew. So guess what? She passed away about 9 years ago. And when she passed away, I thought, man, what am I going to do? You know, she's gone. I remember Shirelli. I don't know if you guys know Shirelli. She's like, Sandy, I can sponsor you. I'm like, no, it's okay. I'm good. No, I'm good. And then I thought Jeannie, because Jeannie used to go speak every year for Keith. I'm like, she looks pretty cool, you know, relaxed. I'm already burned out from all these conventions. I don't like conventions, but Maggie had me involved in all these conventions. When I asked Jeannie, can you be my sponsor? She's like, yeah. I'm like, cool. She became my sponsor. And I also have a CODA sponsor. It's a man. But I can tell you one thing. My doctor retired before pandemic in 2020. I went to see him for the last time. And this is what he said. Zenny, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a friend of Bill W. I'm like, wait a minute before you retire, because this is the last time I'm going to come and see you. Did you send me to Alcoholics Anonymous because you kind of like became my sponsor or because of my health? And he says, Zenny, I'm going to give you an answer. Keep going. He's like 43 years sober. And he sent me to you guys, Alcoholics Anonymous. And even now I ask myself, like, why did he send me to you guys? Is it really because of my health? Because I don't get it. And I'm still here. You know, I'm still here. That jerk, he's where he needs to be. And I can tell you one thing. He was on my fourth step all over. And also my boyfriend from the Latin Kings and my father. But you know what? I became who I am now, a very strong person. When I was working my step, I cannot tell you where, which one it was. I felt like my soul was in handcuffs with a lot of rage, resentments, and more rage. Something happened when I was working the steps that I just felt like somehow I removed those handcuffs and I became this beautiful, strong person. And I'm at the point where I really don't care what people think about me anymore. I really don't care anymore. I don't listen to gossip anymore. I'm done with that. My family do not support Alcoholics Anonymous because I no longer work for the family. But I'm okay with it. I'm okay. I love my life. I went back to school. I got my paralegal degree in criminal justice. I got my bookkeeper degree. I got my immigration law. And right now I'm doing criminal forensics. I run the business for Sugar Daddy. We got rid of the wife. Yeah. I think he goes to Al-Anon, I think. When I told him the truth about my age, he couldn't believe me. He just couldn't believe me. I'm like, I have to be honest with you. I'm working my step, but I was only like 17, 16 when I was going out with you. He's like, you could have got me in trouble. Oh my God, I know, you know. I was underage, you know. So I still go through a lot of rage, but I can tell you what helps me, the newcomer. When I come to a meeting with Alcoholics Anonymous, and I sit here for an hour, my mind stays away from my own thinking because I still think crazy. There's a lot of things I wanted to do because of my rage, and I just don't do that. When I come to a meeting, it helps me to control my rage. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I got my voice back. I'm grateful that I go to Chicago, my hometown, but I really miss my hometown. I want to be there in Chicago. But I can't because that family, they're still looking for me. I'm very strict about Facebook and social media. I mean, like, I don't really give details where I'm at. You know, you guys are recording me. Oh, my God, I hope they don't get me now, you know. And I've been, like, away, like, for 26 years from Chicago, and I miss my hometown. But I know I am where I need to be. And I know now I believe in a higher power. It's my higher power. It's not your God. Now I go to a meeting. I run the meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous at my home group. I was only 6 years sober when Keith Carpenter gave me the commitment of getting the speakers. He never said, give it away. So I'm not going to give it away. I'm still doing it. And a lot of the old timers, they were telling me, what are you doing here, kid? You don't belong here. Even Keith Carpenter. What are you doing here, kid? You're only 18 years old. You don't belong here. I used to get pissed off. And I used to say, you know what, crazy people? I'm going to stay here. I'm going to show you that I'm going to run AA. And yeah, I got rid of those plastic tradition baskets. I got the nice chrome red velvet, you know, nice miniature rack, a nice cake. Another one where you, oh my God, you guys get sober for a year and then all you get is a piece of cake. Oh my God, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, really? All you get is a piece of cake and you want me to stay sober for a year? Oh my God, that was crazy. I got a foam fake cake where you don't blow it onto it. And then the real cake, you cut it and you pass it away to the people. Oh my God, you that was gross. You people make me sick. I made a lot of changes in my meeting. The old timers that didn't like it, they're gone, they're dead. The newcomers, follow me. They have no clue what the heck is going on, so they just follow me. The traditions don't apply to me when it comes to my home group. That's why I keep my commitment and I'm not gonna give it away, you know? And so my life is good. Like I said, like my sponsor told me before she died, Zenny, just like you work your steps, you can do anything else in life. I was on my third step when there was a lady and she's like, can you be my sponsor? It was a Friday night meeting. And I'm like, no, I'm only like on step three. Then I heard my sponsor. Yes, you can. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, I guess I can be your sponsor, you know? So now I have like 22 sponsees. But thank God Jeannie's not like Maggie, you know, not comparing, but she knows I'm doing the program. But Maggie, oh my God, she had me going to conventions and get involved in conventions and more conventions. And I just, when she died, I'm like, I'm done with conventions. So I asked Jeannie, please don't make me go to conventions. I'm burned out, you know? And I do have a life. My life is good. It's not just about AA. Newcomer, if you ask yourself, is my life gonna, this is it, AA? Because that's what I thought. No, it actually was the beginning of my life, the beginning of a good life. I wasted a lot of my time going out to the clubs. I still go to the clubs with my sister. I don't tell people, oh, I'm an alcoholic. No, I respect anonymity. I go to the clubs, I dance, like if I'm drunk or I'm actually sober, you know? I go to family functions. They offer me a drink. No, I'm not drinking tonight. That's it, you know? But you can have, I'm talking about myself, a fun, loving life. And when they asked me to go speak, like last night when I lost my voice at the Coachella Fest, I wanted to cancel with Christy. I'm like, no, Christy, I'm not going to cancel. I'm going to go with my voice because it was windy. Where's Luis? Luis was there last night at Coachella Fest, right? Luis was there too, okay? So I lost my voice and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to cancel. No, I'm not going to cancel. I showed up. I stood up. And I respect Alcoholics Anonymous because, man, you have no idea. The way I was leaving, the way I was going, right now I would be with Orange is the New Black, new episode, or 6 feet under, for real. So thanks to my doctor, who now I see him like he was my first sponsor. He has no idea what he did to me, but it changed my life. Because now I can say no, I can say yes, and I can live my life however I want to, and I enjoy everything I do, and I do not, I went through bulimia because I wanted to cover my curves, because I always thought my father was right. I got raped because of my body. Screw that. I love my curves, and I'm gonna wear tight dresses and show it off. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I did it for too long. I was a people pleaser. And thanks to Alcoholics Anonymous, the steps, the traditions, and everything that comes along with it, I became who I am today, from head to toe. But to feel good on the inside, man, it's such a great feeling not to hold on to resentments anymore. And like my sponsor said, you can call that jerk the jerk. I'm okay with it. I feel like that jerk is always going to be the jerk. But you know what? I don't hold anything else, you know, for him. I'm done with him. I'm moving on with my life. And that sugar daddy, he's sober too, you know, but that's not my story. I'm talking about me. My life is great. I don't go out with married men anymore, you know? So I changed a lot. I really changed a lot, you know? I don't have to have a fake ID anymore because, you know, I can legally drink, but I cannot drink anymore. And I don't even miss drinking at all. I really don't. I still have rage moments. I work with my sugar daddy. I'm his paralegal. We go to trial. I don't always like what the DA or the judge have to say about our clients, you know, but I have to hold on like, oh, but my gesture attitude, you know, wants to take over. And sugar daddy's like, behave, behave, you're the paralegal, you're the, I'm like, okay. You know, but yeah, so what do? I go to a meeting, sit down, listen to you alcoholics, and they helped me a lot. Going to a meeting, talking to others, sponsoring people, calling my sponsor, and just involved in general. You know, life is good. Even though I went through so much in my early, I started drinking when I was 10 and I stopped when I was 18. So you know what? I think I already did a lot of damage, a lot of damage. So I'm honestly grateful to that doctor who sent me to you guys. Because of him, I'm here today. I'm not in a wheelchair. I'm no longer paralyzed. You know, I'm happy with my life. And that God of yours, now that big book and the big book, everywhere when they talk about God, they refer to him as he, your God. I had a problem with that. My sponsor said, well, get a black marker, scratch it out where it says he. I almost read the whole book all the way to the stories because I went to scratch God, he. And I'm like, did you make me read the whole book? She says, yeah, that was the point. I'm like, oh my God. So now my big book is highlighted with red, yellow, neon, green, pink, and a lot of black. Because I hated the word he, referred to God as he. And I told my sponsor, I cannot let my father control my life or the jerk control my life. Now I come to read this big book and it refers to God as a he. I cannot handle that. So I scratch it out. And I remove it and I put the word it. I can tell you one thing right now. I believe in a higher power now. And I know because of that higher power, I am the person that I became now. And I just love my life. I honestly do. That boyfriend that I had became my victim. He died of COVID. He died and he didn't believe in COVID, didn't believe in none of that. I treat him like shit. I when I met him, I thought he was boring because he loved me. I don't know how to handle love. If you don't hit me or get jealous or abusive with me, that's not true love, according to me. And I just didn't know how to handle that healthy love that he provided to me. So when I met Sugar Daddy, it was drama because we both drink together and we used to meet at the cemetery because that people don't snitch. She was like, why do you want to meet at the cemetery? I'm like, because that people don't snitch. She's like, you're weird. I'm like, you too. So my boyfriend died of COVID. I made amends to him. Sugar Daddy got sober. We're still together. But I do not believe in marriage. I don't know why. I got really traumatized from the time my father took me to City Hall and married me with a jerk. I hate the word husband. I hate it. And I just feel like it's, I don't know, I just feel trapped. Like I told Sugar Daddy, no, I'm forever going to be the mistress. Just keep it like that. Keep it like that. I don't want to know that I'm your wife because I refuse to be a wife, you know? But it's just in my head. But I can tell you one thing. My life is good. I hurt a lot of people. I hurt his wife, his kids, his mom, my boyfriend. But at that time, I did not care. And I was able to make amends to all the people that I hurt. And now, step 10, I try not to hurt people with my words because, man, my words can kill you. So I think before I speak, because I don't want to go back and make amends to you. So now I'm like, put a seatbelt on my tongue and like, no, I'm not going to say that. And I just have a filter now. I think before I speak. And then I want to thank my sponsor, Jeannie, for being here tonight. Even though I don't get to see her a lot, I just see her, you know, talk, whatnot. And then sometimes I speak and I'm like, oops, I forgot to tell you. I went to speak at this meeting. She's like, I know, somebody told me. And I'm like, oh. But now she's here tonight, and Joe's over here, and Carol, and I want to thank you, Rachel, for opening the meeting for me, and thank you guys for having me.